Today, stagflation is looming, like it or not. Hello again, it's Martin Oth from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. And weirdly, this show, which I publish each week, is the least popular, judging by views, and yet probably the most important. So if you have watched it, please like and subscribe. September has the dubious honour of being the worst performing month for stocks. In the last 10 years, it's been the only month to consistently show a meaningful decline in US equities. In the past 5 years, stocks dropped in 4 out of 5 Septembers, and the losses weren't small, they were deep and they were fast. The early signs are that this year will be no different, though the weak August US jobs reports means traders are fully pricing in a Fed rate cut in September, with rising speculation that a larger move could be on the table. But here's the catch. Most of that optimism is already priced in, and priced in fully. If the Fed cuts but hedges its language, stressing caution on future rate moves because of lingering inflation, investors could be disappointed and stocks could once again fall in line with their seasonal weakness. And the fluidity around the real impact of Trump's tariffs remains. On one hand, after months of negotiations, the US signals a deal to impose lower auto tariffs on Japan, but on the other, analysts fear the US government may have to give up revenue from tariffs if they're deemed illegal. So both have added to the pressure on the Treasury market. All this echoes globally, of course. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 was down 0.2%, the FTSE in London was unchanged, and the CAC 40 in France lost 0.3% on Friday. The S&P 500 hit a record high of 6,532 points in early trade, but then pulled back to be down 0.32% on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average also hit a record high in the first few minutes of trading before retreating 0.5%, and the Nasdaq pretty much finished flat. Muted equity performance across the board led the MSCI World Equity Index to finish just slightly up. Gold, though, hit a fresh record high of $3,653 an ounce as the dollar weakened. Lower interest rates, which could lead to lower borrowing costs for businesses, are generally seen to be a boon to equity markets. Gold, which does not pay interest, tends to shine when rates are low and uncertainty is high. The flow of US economic data suggests that the economy added fewer jobs than anticipated in August, with data from the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics showing that non-farm payrolls came in at just 22,000 last month, down from an upwardly revised level of 79,000 in July. Economists had estimated that the figure was standard around 75,000. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate edged higher to 4.3%, up from 4.2% in the prior month and in line with forecasts, while underemployment surged. The ADP data, with a focus on the private sector, was also weak. The warning bell is ringing in the labour market, said Fitch Ratings. A weaker than expected jobs report all but seals a 25 basis point rate cut later this month. These are signs that labour demand is also weakening, not just supply, Bank of America Securities US economist said. We now expect the Fed to cut by 25 basis points in September and December. This follows on from Powell's dovish comments recently at Jackson Hole. And some are now calling 50 basis points this time around and 75 points by the end of the year. But the data does remain mixed. Consumers seem pretty robust still, although credit card delinquencies are rising to levels not seen in recent years. And inflation data is still looking troublesome, though the tariff effects remain muted at least so far. All up, the idea of falling rates at a time of higher inflation is a recipe for stagflation as unemployment rises, which still appears to be a likely outcome, even as government debt continues to rise. That said, in line with expectations of lower rates, the US Treasury yield was last down to 3.509%, while the benchmark 10-year yield sagged to 4.073%. Lower Treasury yields weighed on the US dollar, with the dollar index down 0.5% to 97.74. A softer dollar helped to support the euro as well, which rose 0.6% to 1.1719. The dollar was down 0.7% against the yen, with the pair at 147.41. Oil prices declined for a third consecutive day ahead of a meeting of OPEC and allied producers over the weekend. Brent crude futures settled 2.2% lower at $65.67 a barrel, while US crude fell 2.5% to $61.97. The European Union's Energy Commissioner said the bloc would welcome US President Donald Trump's plan to stop buying Russian oil. In the US market, bank shares were among those taking the biggest hit, with the S&P 500 bank index ending 2.4% lower. Alphabet advanced, meanwhile, despite its Google unit suffering a 2.95 billion euro fine for violating the European Union's competition rules by allegedly engaging in antitrust practices. Tesla gained 3% after the company announced that CEO Elon Musk's compensation plan could reach about $1 trillion if highly ambitious targets, including boosting Tesla's valuation nearly eightfold to about $8.5 trillion over the next decade. Broadcom shares rose 9.4%, helping to offset market losses a day after the chipmaker unveiled a $10 billion artificial intelligence chip order from a new customer and forecast fourth quarter revenue above estimates. For the week, the Dow fell 0.3%, the S&P 500 gained 0.3%, and the Nasdaq rose 1.1%. European stock markets closed lower on Friday, dragged by energy and financial shares as traders assessed the release of that US jobs report. The pan-European Stoxx 600 fell by 0.2%. Meanwhile, the DAX in Germany declined 0.7%, France's CAC 40 slipped 0.3%, and the FTSE was pretty much flat, just down very slightly. European regional banks came under pressure, falling 1.3%. Bank shares often fall on rate cut hopes as low interest rates compress net interest margins, hitting their profits and squeezing loan demand. Insurance fell 0.6%, while financial services lost 0.3%. The real estate sector, sensitive to interest rates, jumped 1.6% to limit the overall decline on the Stoxx 600 index, which, after Friday's moves, ended the week with marginal losses. Energy was the biggest loser of the week, down 3.2%, while healthcare and media remained the biggest gainers, up 1.2%. Looking at individual stocks, shares in Hexagon surged after the Swedish group announced a $3.16 billion deal to sell its design and engineering division to US firm Cadence Design. The transaction is anticipated to close in the first quarter of next year. Meanwhile, Ørsted shares closed higher after earlier declining as the Danish energy company brought down its operating outlook due to lower wind speeds than usual. And banking software name Temenos plunged after it announced the immediate departure of its CEO. Market sentiment has recovered in recent days after global stocks fell earlier in the week, and long-dated bond yields in Europe hit their highest in years as investors became concerned about the state of various countries' finances, particularly Britain and France, actually. French 30-year borrowing costs held close to their highest level since 2009, and German equivalents were up nearly 14-year peaks. Yields eased on Friday, though, with France's 30-year yield at 4.378%, down from its peak of 4.523% on Wednesday. The benchmark 10-year yield in Germany was at 2.6668%, and the UK's 30-year yield was at 5.543% after borrowing costs hit their highest level since 1998 earlier in the week at around 5.75%. Speaking to a parliamentary committee on Wednesday, Bank of England Chief Andrew Bailey said it was important not to put too much emphasis on 30-year borrowing costs as such long-dated bonds are not currently being used to raise funds. The pound rose versus a weaker dollar after Friday's news that British Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner resigned after admitting to underpaying property tax on the new home in a fresh blow for her boss, Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Then followed a major reorganisation of his cabinet. The pound strengthened 0.51% to 1.3506 against the dollar, and is up slightly for the week. Britain said on Wednesday that it would deliver its budget on November 26, as investors continue to speculate about tax rises that can dampen economic growth even further. The next test, politically speaking, will be a French confidence vote on Monday, where the Prime Minister's minority coalition government appears at risk of collapsing, a scenario that could trigger a rating downgrade and raise the risk of forced selling of France's already pressurised bonds. French stocks have underperformed the benchmark index so far this year. The country's credit was downgraded by Moody's after its previous government collapse last year. On the data front, German industrial orders unexpectedly fell in July due to a drop in large-scale orders. Eurozone gross domestic product increased by just 0.1% in the second quarter, compared with the 3 months, while the bloc's employment rose by 0.1% quarter-on-quarter and by 0.6% year-on-year. In the second quarter, European equity markets are still pricing for strong late-cycle conditions, leaving them exposed if growth slows. That's according to Bank of America strategists. The economic reforms needed to really cover increasing debt are lacking, and the capital market sees that, Deutsche Bank CEO Christian Sewing said at a conference on Wednesday, referring, of course, to the sell-off in long-dated bonds. Bank of America strategists say that while recent US and global data looks resilient, we still see softening growth ahead, pointing to forecasts of fading US demand, weaker payroll gains, and rising unemployment alongside soft domestic demand in China and negative euro area growth in the second half. Country-wise, Switzerland is the bank's top overweight, while Spain, Germany, and Italy are underweights. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, capping off a volatile week as investors awaited that key US non-farm payroll data. Japan's Nikkei 225 was the best performer in the region after US President Donald Trump signed that executive order implementing a Washington-Tokyo trade deal, which entails lower trade tariffs against the Asian country. Japan's Nikkei 225 added 0.8%, while the Topix rose 0.4%. The Nikkei was trading up 0.4% over the week. Stronger than expected private spending data also highlighted some resilience in the Japanese economy. Household spending rose more than expected in July from the prior month, while overall wage income of employees also beat expectations. The readings heightened strength in consumer spending, which is a key driver of Japanese growth, but they also pointed to some stickiness in inflation, a trend that could attract some interest rate hikes from the Bank of Japan in the coming months. Japanese stocks are likely to remain supported by export-orientated value stocks, despite heightened political uncertainty in the country, Morgan Stanley said. Market focus is squarely on whether the Prime Minister will face a snap leadership contest within the ruling Liberal Democratic Party following its defeat in the recent upper house election. Morgan Stanley says the relative strength of value stocks tied to external demand, such as automobiles, steel, and industrials, would likely continue as long as the US Federal Reserve's implied terminal rate remains above the 3% neutral level. Japanese equities persevered in 2025 after strong gains in the prior year. The Nikkei 225 is trading up nearly 10% so far this year, while the Topix has ridden about 13%. Upbeat corporate earnings, guidance updates, and continued foreign inflows were major points of support. Export stocks remain resilient despite increased headwinds from higher US trade tariffs, although a recent trade deal between Tokyo and Washington heralded fewer hurdles. Mainland Chinese markets vastly lagged their Asian peers this week, down around 2.6% amid a wave of profit-taking, with markets now looking to a host of economic readings due next week for more clues on the Chinese economy. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 rose 0.9%, while the Shanghai Composite added 0.4%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index rose 0.5%, with all three indices advancing after a sluggish start to the day. The Hang Seng was trading up 0.3% this week on some resilience in technology shares. Private Purchasing Managers Index data released this week showed some resilience in the Chinese economy, with trade and inflation data set to provide more economic cues in the coming week. Property still looks weak, though, and more part build projects are being saved by local government intervention. Broader Asian markets mostly advanced on Friday, although South Korea's Kospi was flat and India's Nifty 50 closed just slightly higher. The Australian share market has rallied to pare back some of its heavy losses earlier in the week that marked a brutal start to September and the end of a month-long winning streak. The ASX 200 rose 0.5% to 8,871 on Friday, with 9 out of 11 sectors in the green, led by technology, real estate and gold stocks. National Australia Bank edged up 0.8% to $42.17. Westpac was up 0.7% to $38.17. And ANZ was up 0.3% to $32.29, while Commonwealth Bank was flat at $168.14. The tech sector fired up with Life360 up 3.1% to $45.69. Zip was up 4.7% to $4.49. NextDC was up 2.8% to $16.52. Codan was up 3.1% to $3.77. And Xero up 1.2% to $158.89. But WiseTech continued its recent sell down, falling 1.4% to $93.56. While Buzzy's small cap Drone Shield also extended a poor week, falling 3.2% to $3.03. Gold stocks gained as the precious metal and safe haven assets moved higher. Regis Resources jumped 5.6% to $5.09. Vault Minerals was 5.3% higher to 60 cents. And Romulus was up 2.4% to $3.46. We remain bullish on the outlook for the yellow metal and see potential for it to continue to make new highs in coming quarters as the investor base widens and allocations grow, said UBS analysts. Gold trajectory of late has been increasingly shaped by growing expectations of imminent Federal Reserve rate cuts, concerns about the institution's independence, lower real yields, and the US dollar teetering near the lower end of its recent range. Meyer led the consumer stocks higher, rising 3.8% 69 cents. Harvey Norman edged up 1.1% to $7.42. The real estate sector was also flashing green, with Mirvac at 1.7% to $2.34 and Goodman Group 2.1% up to $32.48. Orica rose 1.2% to $21.01 after flagging higher underlying earnings across its business for the second half ending September 30 on ongoing positive momentum. The 10-year bond was a 4.306%, while the 30-year was down to 5.092, despite the RBA governor this week suggesting rate cuts might slow down due to stronger GDP and spending data, which I discussed in my earlier show. The Aussie was at 65.57 US cents and 48.54 UK pence. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin moved higher on Friday amid a broader advance in risk-driven markets as traders welcomed the slower-than-expected US non-farm payroll data that cemented expectations for a September interest rate cut. The world's biggest cryptocurrency was also sitting on a gain of more than 4% over the week as it recovered from steep declines logged through most of August, but it still remains largely range-bound, taking limited support from more corporate Bitcoin buying and plans for friendlier regulation in the US. It was last $110,750. Broader crypto prices lagged Bitcoin this week. World number two crypto Ether added 1.3% and was up nearly 1% over the week. Solana rose 1.2%, while Cardano gained 3.5%. The two altcoins were up 4.2% and 3.5% for the week, respectively. So all up, September is the month that keeps giving, and markets have fully priced in US rate cuts. So if for any reason, like fear of inflation rising, they are curtailed, then this will be a perfect recipe for a market correction. Losses, if they come, will be both fast and potentially deep. No wonder, perhaps, gold remains an attractive bet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.